Today we'll be speaking with Kevin Siegel, an associate director at Profitable Ideas Exchange. Kevin has worked with a number of expert service providers, including Agility, T2C, Lease Analytics, and LivePerson. So Kevin, you know, we work hard to meet people that our expertise can help. And oftentimes that ends up being the half an hour call on our schedule. When you have an appointment with somebody that you feel like your expertise could help, how do those calls go? What do you try and do on the calls?
Yeah, great question, Tom. I think the first strategy is to really learn about one another and to gain rapport with one another. We try to, we have some great questions that we try to ask them to, uncover really, what their objectives are in terms of business development and marketing and spreading the message that particular firm is looking to achieve. And then I also think, especially for our organization, just explaining what we do and helping them to understand how our process and how our techniques can really help them, in their marketing and business development efforts.
Okay, so that sounds like the consultative sale. You're trying to uncover felt needs in the person that you're talking with. How does that conversation go? I mean, what questions do you ask specifically to begin to engage with somebody?
I think the first easy question to ask anyone to really get a good idea is to kind of find out what their role and responsibilities are within the organization. That in and of itself can help you kind of target and look at, what need they're looking to fulfill. And then, a lot of important questions to also uncover is other activities they might be also doing in marketing, kind of what initiatives they also have going on, as well as, what kind of budget they have to work with. I think there for any type of sale, there needs to be a need and there needs to be a budget and there needs to be authority. So it's also great to find out from the person when you're speaking with them about their role is if, they have the authority to be able to make a purchase with your firm.
Sometimes I've gotten sort of pushback and people are like, yeah, I understand. But why don't you just tell me what you guys do? Do you ever get that? And, do you ever just lead with, okay, well, here's an explanation of our services?
Yeah, I think let's be honest here, all professional services are really sold on relationships and credibility. So I think really just the pushback that we get is, what makes you think that you can work with us? And I think being able to speak to our experience of, 12, 13 years, building these executive communities and providing the opportunity for our clients to be able to put their best people in front of those they would most like to serve. That's a common pushback is just finding out, if we have the ability to really scale their people like we say we can.
Interesting. What other kind of pushback do you get? Like what kind of questions do you get from people that you're trying to sort of connect with?
Cost is always a big one. There's always interest to find out kind of, is this going to be a really expensive endeavor or is this something, that, we can find some dollars just in our back pocket that can pay for an acquisition like this.
Okay. So that's always a little awkward. Like, well, how much does it cost? How do you answer that question?
Yeah, it really helps to give the person a range. There's a lot of psychology behind it. If you give them a range from 75 to 100, or excuse me, 150 to 75, they're gonna be really scared at that 150. But the 75 number is what they're really aiming at, and it gives you some leeway to be able to really lock down a price that's beneficial for your client as well as profitable for your company.
Interesting. Yeah, it's like that kind of software option. Do you want freeware or the budget model or the double expensive model? And people always pick that kind of center budget model. Do you ask any questions before sort of talking about price?
Yeah, it's always helful to find out, of course, kind of what they're looking how they're looking to leverage what we can provide for them. So a great example for what we do is, when we're building executive communities, bringing together a group of CFOs will be much more difficult than bringing together a group of managers of finance. CFOs are very busy and it's tough to find time on their calendars. So it's one of those differentiators that we would look to have to charge a little bit more just because the heavy lifting and work required on our end is much greater.
Other objections that you run into on the phone in that first half an hour?
You know, other objections that we hear is, you know, just the fact that our credibility, if we're able to do what we say we do. I think being able to tell stories and case studies of how we've worked with other companies in the past is always really beneficial. You know, when we reach out to an IBM, it's always beneficial to be able to give a case study of working with another large organization like that.
You know, I always think begin with the end in mind. So what are you trying to get out of the call? Like, how do you wrap a call up?
Sure. So I think it's always great to try to get that second meeting. That's what it's all about. It's tough to make a sale in that first meeting because it's really about understanding one another and building that rapport. And so, you know, to end a call, it's always great to always make, you know, ask them, hey, if you have your calendar in front of you, love to set some time to continue a discussion, you know, sometime next week or the following week. That way, you know, you have an opportunity to continue the discussion, but then you also have time to be able to prepare materials for them and to be able to plant more seeds in their mind in between those first and second calls.